Recording.
So that's off the previous year. Absolutely given. It's the mission in a few places. It's the moment of loss to pay, which is how we got it in the first place. And that's the rule that a bold part of the Nechsim when you part El Bishmua. When a person comes with a Din Torah against Yisomim and says, listen, your father owed me $1,000, so the basin says, maybe it'll be $1,000, I'm not paying you back. And the question is, where does this thing come from? And we know the Mishnah records it in the Masechta Ksuvos. What is the rationale for this halacha? So we left off on Friday with a major machlokes, Rashi and Tosfos. The source of this thing is all about. So Rashi explained that this is part of a general deal with the father's business deal as well. So basically, goes up to that. Basically, will advance on behalf of the person as well. Therefore, Rashi says, first of that, no, I paid you back already. You would have, even though you have a shtar, even though you have a document, and the because shtar chav yad in my body, and you rip up the shtar. So the mom has the upper hand in the Torah. The mom is in the Shmuel says, notwithstanding the mouth is up ahead in the Dintara, he could be forced to Shmuel. He could be b'chayev, the local form of the mouth of Baker Shmuel. So it says, Rashi, very simple. Just as if the Lova would have been here, he could have forced the mouth to take a Shmuel. Lova is in the LMMS, but we as the days that are representing it, it's simply an extension of the principle of Tavina. Nothing unique here, nothing special, no special Mechanos of Chavim here. It's the age-old thing called Tavina. Tosus was bothered with this Rashi. Tosus said that if that would be the case, then presumably, what would the din be if years ago the Lova said to the Malva, said, oh, right to insist on a shua. I'm not going to insist you take a shua. So the Gemara says, the din is, the person makes such a tzad, make whatever tzad you want, so if the law enforces a shua. And still the Gemara says, in the Selman, so it says, those have to be strength, then the law themselves. So if the law himself was makom, and still not makom requires of such a shua, it must be, says Tosfos, that this is a special Tekanus HaChavim. This has nothing to do with Tanina. There's a special unique day in the Kachavim, the Chavim, Abolik Balik, Abolik Balik. So the bottom line is, everybody agrees to the Din, Feresh Mishnayit, Feresh Gemara Melas Tafei. What the rationale for the Din is it based on a general rule of Tanina? Is it based on a special Tekanus? That's up for grabs. But the Chavim, what's really taking place in the Sugya, is something much deeper than just the intricacies, the details of Yet Tanina, Nish Tanina. What's really going on in this sugya is something very profound, something very basic, and really how to understand the very principle of Tanina itself. Tanina is a very, very bizarre statement because the ABCs of Dinei Torah are, it's Reuven against Shimon. Reuven knows what he said. He's got his array of claims. Shimon's got his responses to the claim. That's what a Dinei Torah looks like. Here we have a Dinei Torah of Yisomim, and we're trying to figure out who exactly is the Baldin here. Like, I have a claim against these kids. So who is the respondent? Who is the Baldin? So one of two possibilities. Either the Baldin or the Yisomim themselves. That's a big problem because Yisomim don't know anything. They didn't tell them how are they going to respond to that claim? They don't know anything. So anything that they're saying is just guesswork. That's not a response to a Dintara. So obviously there's some deficiency with the Yisomim being the Baldin. Who's the other possibility to be the Baldin? The father himself. That's a huge problem. He's not alive. Generally speaking, people who are no longer alive can't walk at the court. So we have a big problem. There's nobody to respond. So I have a claim. I have a shtar. I have a claim. I mean, whatever claim I have, and there's nobody offering a legitimate response. So based on the regular rules, I should win. If I have a din Torah against you, And I say, listen, you want me to get out now? And you say, I can't talk. I don't want to talk. Mom's the word. That's not a response. You have to say, either I didn't buy the money, I paid back the money, this by that. I think some kind of response. If I summon you to court, you have to respond. If you don't respond, you're going to lose. So every din Torah against Yisomim is always has this problem that there's nobody to respond. So comes the Mishnah of the Master of the Third Parent and says, no, there's a din called Tanidim. It's Allah, this is where it came from. There's a din called Tanidim. Mm-hmm. So it says in B'choron, Yesh Lachba, one can understand the din of Taninan in one of two ways. I love this way of understanding this halacha of Taninan, where presumably neither of the Baal, there's nobody here to give a counterclaim. So comes to B'chon and says, you can understand it in one of two ways. Either you can understand it that it's like a shtichot tchiras ha'esim, that Taninan tells us that the father, although he's not in the Elam, this world anymore, from the Elam Ha'emes, he's responding. He's saying the claims. How can you do that? So we're making believe. It's all the world of make believe. We're masakim at the Rabbanan that the father is considered to be here, even though he's not here anymore. But basically, he's the one who's responding with the counter. What do I say? No, that it's a joke. So it's honest. The father's claiming. The father's responding. The father's not alive. What Tanina means is that whatever the father could have said, we're going to put into the mouths of the Yisomim. Even though normally there's a halacha that in order to respond to a claim, you have to have a double, so you have to know what you're saying. Here, we're going to, for their benefit, because of Lay's brain, otherwise it's impossible for us to help out this poor Yisraelim, we're going to put the words into the Yisraelim's mouth, but the person who's responding to the claim is the Yisraelim himself. It's not the father. So who is the Lomdus? Who is the other Baldin in every case against Yisraelim? Is the other Baldin the father, or is the other Baldin the Yosem? Either way can be understood in terms of what Tanina is all about. Says Rabbi Chanan, that is the Nekudas Machlokes in Rashi and Tosfos. Tosfos found that impossible. How could you have Taninan if the father was Mevatra and his chus already? The father already said 20 years ago, I'm my right to insist that you take a shmur. So Rabbi Chanan says, if the father was Mevatra and his chus, he was Meichel and his chus, how could you turn around and have him talk 20 years later? Because Tosfos was looking at Taninan through the eyes of the father. It's the father who's the Baldin. So therefore, Tosfos was inconceivable, the eyes of the Baldin. Tosfos, once you're Meichel and Yischus, you can't come back to it again. But how did Rashi understand Taninan? Rashi understood, Taninan's not the father talking. The father's not alive anymore. Taninan are the Yisraelim, or the children talking. We put the words, into the Yisraelim's mouth. The fact that the father was Mevato and that's Chus 20 years ago, was the blooming. Said, I wasn't Mevato. I wasn't Meichel on my Chus. So I get this Chus, even though the father himself circumvented that Chus. He circumvented it for himself, he ruled this Chus, but it doesn't ruin it for me. So that's a Rav Chanan's famous biur in Kedushirim as to what the Nekudas Machlokes Rashi Tosfos is all about. But we're going to take this biur in Rav Chanan and these two ways of understanding Taninan, and now begin to really open up the sugya for us. It's going to be a sugya that's going to keep on coming back to us throughout the sugya and chas about them. It's a fundamental sugya. We'll take a little bit of a step away from Tanidon for a moment and then come right back to it. So let's take a look at the fifth of the Marmakomos. So the fifth of the Marmakomos, from the Basin of Ayin and Aleph. Bo'amin Erev Amr Merav Chisda. Hamavkin Etzachavir B'shtar. Just so we can get Henry, can we just get a lot of static in the back? Just got a few minutes in there. Again, just people not muted. Again, so the fifth of the Bamner Bamar of Chisda. Hamavkin at Sukhver Bishtar, Omulam Zaid al Chamahu. We need a 2 minute introduction just to appreciate where Bamram Shaila was. If I come to you with a shtar that says that I have a claim against you, I can have a claim against you either because I lent you money, I can have a claim against you that I gave you this item to watch it. I gave you my, I rented you my car. I gave you my animal to watch. I have a document that's signed by Adam saying that you are holding on to my property. So that sounds like a no-brainer. And if I have the shtar in my hands, what are you possibly going to respond? So if you respond, no, I paid back the loan already. I gave back the car already. I gave back the animal already. It's a joke. I said, what kind of response is that? Shtarcha liyadi, my boy. If you really paid back the loan, if you really gave back the car, if you really gave back the animal, then why do I still have the document? Either you should have insisted on ripping up the document, or you should insist on getting a receipt. So you go to rent the car, but when you return the car, they give you a piece of paper, they give you a receipt saying that you're saying that you returned the car. So shtarcha liyadi, my boy. So it's a no-brainer that if a person just says straight out, I returned it, and the owner of the item has a shtar, the owner of the item is going to. However, when it comes to a pikadon, when it comes to an item that you're watching on my behalf, so maybe we can have the following. What if I say to you, listen, I gave you this animal to watch. We have a shtar that says that I gave it to you. I still have the shtar. Shtar me out of my bright. Said, where's the animal? So you respond with the following response. You say to me that, no, I didn't give the animal back. I would never say such a thing. Said, but the animal was struck by lightning. Oinus, a crazy thing happened. A shrimp, a crazy wild thing happened. Or the animal was stolen by, in such a way that a shum would be put there on. So you respond, Tainus Nensu, Tainus Nignavu, Nevda, whatever the claim is, that a particular shum, whether you're a shemachidim, shemachach, a shum, so whatever you are, the type of claim that you would be able to be exempt from. So if you would have responded to me, Nansu, you would be believed. I have a shtar. What does my shtar have to do with the fact that the animal was hit by lightning? So if you would have responded, Nansu, you would have walked away. You would have had to take a shavua satar. Okay, we'll deal with that with Mbam Matsuya. But basically, you would have the upper hand. You would win the dinner. So we have two different scenarios. I claim to you, I gave you this animal to watch, and you respond, I returned it. It's meaningless, and I have a shtar. When I claim I gave this animal to watch and you respond, it was struck by lightning, that's a very, very good response. So now, the Shomer is a chochom. The Shomer says, I returned the animal to you. That's not a good time, huh? Wait, believe me that I returned the animal to you based on a three-letter word called migo. Migo means anytime I put forth a claim that per se I wouldn't be believed, but there's something wrong, something fishy, something shaky about my response, but if I would have had the possibility to claim something else, if I have another claim in my back pocket that I could have said that I am believed, that's called Migo. Why does Migo work? That's a loaded question. The simplest shot of what Migo works is, it's a way of us ascertaining that you're probably telling the truth. Because if you would have wanted to lie, you had the ability to do so. You had a very easy, clean, smooth lie. Nobody would have caused you any trouble with that lie. Since you could have lied and you chose not to, you chose to tell me a whole shtickle story that probably you wouldn't be believed on. Well, Migo, that you would have been believed to say X, you believed to say Y. So comes Rav Amram to Rav Chizda that has the following shayla. I give you an animal to watch and I have a shtar to that effect. So l'chora, if you would have said Nansu, you would have been believed. If you say Hechzarti, you probably shouldn't be believed. But wait, let's believe you to say Hechzarti. Why? Since you could have said Nemsu and you would have been believed, so when you say Hechzarti, you also should be believed based on Migo. O Dilma, where Rav Amram says on the other side, Amalei, Shtar Chabiyad my boy. Wait a second. You're trying to use Migo to prove that you're telling the truth. On the other hand, the Mafkid has another proof that you're not telling the truth. What's the other proof? If you really returned it, so then shtar chaviyad my boy, why didn't you take the shtar back? So now we have two counter arguments, two counter proofs coinciding with one another. So Bezin sitting there, three dayanim sitting there, trying to figure out who in the world is telling the truth. Reuven's claiming I gave you an animal to watch and you never returned it. He has the shtar. Shimon saying I did return it. So Bezin scratched their head trying to figure out who's telling the truth. So on the one hand, Reuven has a gavaldika proof that the animal was not returned. What's the gavaldika proof? Reuven still has the shtar. On the other hand, Shimon has a gevaldik proof that he probably did return the animal. What's the proof? If he wanted to tell the Bumites, he could have told the Bumites. It's an easier claim to just say, Nansu. Contradictory rayas. You have a shtar chaviyad, my boy, against the Migo. What do you do? That was Rav Amram Shaila. So Amalek Rav Chisda said to Mehiman. Rav Chisda said he's taka believed. And then the Gemara goes on for a whole moment to try to figure out, yeah, no, yes, no, yes. Is he going to believe that or not? So we're going to work with the assumption right now that he is believed. that the Migo, it's called Hechzad, the Migo, the Nansu, is a powerful enough proof, and that can override a Shtach of Yadam Eibron. The Gemara then goes on to say, if that is correct, that Migo has the ability to beat out a Shtach of Yadam Eibron, let's change one piece of information. Instead of the Shomer himself being confronted by the Mafkin, the Shomer is no longer here. The Shomer's Yorshim are the ones who are now being asked to respond. So the Mafkin comes with a star and he says, listen, 6 months ago, I gave your father an animal for me to watch. He said, I never got it back. Here's my star. Shtach, I got my boy. I insist I want you guys to give me that animal back and reimburse me for that animal. So the B'nai HaShomer are clueless. What are they going to say? Yeah, our father gave it back. Our father didn't hear it. They have no idea. They have no idea. They don't know anything. So all of a sudden, what wheels start to turn ahead? The wheels of timing on. So let's begin to offer tainers on behalf of the B'nai HaShomer. What possible tainers can we give on behalf of the B'nai HaShomer? So it gets a little bit complicated. The sugya and kind of walk us through to get to the punchline for us. Tosus learned shot in the sugya as follows. Tosus says there are two possible claims we can say on behalf of the B'nai HaShomer. There are two possible taininas we can advance them in. One is we could say Nensu. That would be a great taina. If we get up there and say, we on behalf of the B'nai HaShomer are hereby advancing the following claim, the animal that you demand to return was hit by lightning. The father could have said that. If the father would have said they would have been Naaman, take a shvur and finish, he would have been Naaman. So we can say that on behalf of the Yisrael. Says Tosfos, no, you can't. Tosfos shows you for the Gemaras that is not a valid response. We cannot say Taninan on Tainus Nansu. Why not? If the father could have said it, why can't we say Taninan? So Tosfos develops the Yisrael, both in Baba Basra and in Gittin, that you don't say Taninan on what's called the Milsat Lo Shchicha. Something that's crazy, something that's off the charts, something that's very uncommon. You don't say Taninan. Taninan has to be in the realm of reality. You say that an animal was hit by lightning, say that the animal was a tsunami came and it's a crazy, sure thing, by its very definition, this is a bizarre occurrence. And the officer still says, we're not going to say Taninan on Nansen.
What's the Havam even? They
even
do Taninan here without any
Hodah.
Hodah
of who?
They have no idea.
That's what Taninan is. Every Taninan is that.
Making up something.
Right, we're making up, that's exactly what Taninan is. Taninan is, if the father would have been here, he would have been able to say this. So we're going to guess on behalf of the Yisrael. That's exactly what Taninan is. Tzav Pichlilim, right?
That sounds like a very funny claim in a court. To make up something.
That's exactly what Taninan is, right? Taninan means that we're going to go up to bat. Otherwise, Yisrael is going to get wiped out every single time. Every claim against Yisrael, Yisrael can always lose because they don't know the facts. So we're going to say, maybe Yisrael hired a lawyer. We're the lawyer. We're going to say, maybe this is what happened.
So is it then Yisrael, meaning that you finally summoned, so we sort of like stretch the...
Now the Gemara has Tanina by other cases also. Let's say the other Baal Din is out of town, and he's not coming back for another 10 years. And I have a claim against his property. So the Gemara says, the Shlomo Fund will also do Tanina. We're going to do Tanina for anyone who is not available to claim on behalf of himself. If a guy is able to claim himself and he refuses to show up in court, we're not going to do Tanina for him. But anyone who has real reason, legitimate reason why they can't claim, either because they're not here, for the MS, for whatever reason, then we will go up to bat and we'll say Tanina. You're setting us up to toast. So again, so we have two possible claims to take Taninan on. We could have theoretically said Taninan on Nansu. Tyson blows it out of the water. There's no Taninan on those social. So what's the other possible Taninan? Something which is believable, something which is not so crazy. Maybe the father returned it. So we're going to go up to bat and we're going to say, Yisomim, we're going to open up their mouths, Sach Pichlilim, and we're going to put the following words into Yisomim's mouth. Our father, return the item to you. That's going to be the Tanina. That's not crazy. To return to Kavim, it's not nuts. That's a pretty normal occurrence. So that's going to be the Tanina. So Tosa says, that's right. Tosa says, if you read the Gemara carefully, you come to the realization that that's exactly what's happening in the Sugya. That we're going to say some kind of Tanina here. We're not going to say Tanina Nansu because that's a Maslo Shlicha. But we will say a Taninan on Hazati. What's the obvious problem of Hazati with that Taninan? Oh, the whole Taninan, the whole Koach, the whole Nemanus to say Hazati is only building on the ability to say Nansu. Havzardi on its own 2 feet is meaningless because Shtachim Yad my body. So the whole koyach, the whole oomph of the taina of Havzardi is because you had an ego, but you still don't have the ego because we wouldn't have said Tanidin on the Nansu. So that's Tosis' problem. So Tosis develops this realization. Tosis comes to this observation. They read the Gemaras in Bava Basra Daf Ayin, and they come to the realization and say that in Hochinam, it doesn't make any sense. That's right. That's the way it is. Let's take a look at the seventh of the Marma Kamas. So Tosa says, I don't understand the whole sugya. The whole Gemara is talking about saying Tanina Nazarti. Yes, Tosa says, Bim Taiba Kati, I'm my Gobu called Dinita Liasmi Nansu. The Yeshlomi, the Milsalo Shriya Chilotin Liasmi Nansu. The Nansu call it Islaik. If it would have been a tsunami, we would have known about it. The Alpha God, the Vuna, Behavan Loma Nansu. Will not say Tanina on a Milsalo Shriya. So then Tosa continues, Magam and Ishra Gobbex will point that out. The Loma Tzele Shachbi, I'm going, Tanina Luach Zaiti Lacha. But Hazati will say Taninanan. Alpha God will tell you an answer. Kev Davur of the Hematarazum, make the Bohem and Nansu. So Tosha says, you're right. It seems to not make any sense. We're going to say Taninan and Tain number two, even though we wouldn't say Taninan and Tain number one, even though Tain number two only exists because of Amigo of Tain number one. Tosha says, yep, that's the way it is. Why that is, Sister Torah, we do not know yet. The Ramban has a comment that's going to put that. I don't know if I put this Ramban on the Marma Kamas. It was a one line Ramban, a different Ramban. It's a one line Ramban in Masechet Avodas and Lochamas. I guess I didn't put it on the Marma Kamas, where the Ramban says about this Tosfos the following. The Ramban says, "Nofal ha'yisod, nofal habinyan." When the foundation cracks, the building comes tumbling down. That's the Ramban's catch. He says it can't be. What Tosfos just said is impossible. How in the world can you say Taninan on Taina number two? If Taina number two is meaningless, it only gets its koach, it only gets its chiyus from Taina number one. And Taina number one, you don't say Taninan. That's the Ramban's kash against us. Because of that kash, the Ramban revamps and rereads and relearns the entire sugya of Rastafari. Not for us right now. So I want to just focus on one small makuda. This machlokes ties in the Ramban. But the Ramban believes that Taninan, I'm sorry, Tosfos believes Taninan can apply even though the Migo doesn't apply to you, and the Ramban denies that. Comes to Bachan and says, this Machlokes Tais in the Ramban is the same Machlokes Rashi and Taisus in our sugya. What is Taninan? What is the lomdus of Taninan? Is Taninan the father Tainin? Is Taninan the son Tainin? Tosfos says, Taninan is the father, come back from the dead. The father is the Baal Tainin. He's the one who is talking over here. He could have said Nansu. Since he could have said Nansu, he can also say Hechzarti. Tosfos had no qualms with saying Tanin and something that the sons couldn't say. What does the sons have to do with anything with Tosfos? The sons are not even here. They don't know anything. They're your son. They don't know what's flying. The Baal Taina, the Baal Din is the father. And since the father has the Migo, we're going to say Tanin on behalf of the father. According to the Ramban, that's not what Taninan is. According to the Ramban, Taninan is the son talking, the Yerushim talking. How in the world can you put words into the Yerushim that the Yerushim themselves couldn't have said? The Yerushim didn't have the Titus Nansu. If they don't have Titus Nansu, then they don't have the ego to say Taninan. So comes Rabbi Chanan and says, this is a running machlokes of Rishonim. It's machlokes Rashi and Taisus of Mavasadav A. It's machlokes Taisus and Ramban of Mavasadav Ayin. What is Taninan? Is Taninan fundamentally the father talking? Is Taninan fundamentally the son talking? So everybody agrees there's a bit of Taninan. Everybody agrees that sometimes we're going to advance Taninan on behalf of the Yisomim. When we're going to, when we're not going to, is ultimately going to depend on who is the one who's talking. So up until now, we have the basic Dinan HaSugya still stands. According to Rashi, it's related to Taninan. According to Tosfos, it cannot be part of Taninan. It's based on a special takana, but the din stands nonetheless. Hopefully, that's from tomorrow, we'll just fine tune a little bit more just about Taninan and then move back to the main thrust of our